You're listening to the Audacious Church Podcast, recorded live from our Chester campus. For more information, head to audaciouschurch.com.
Hey, I'm so excited today to be able to kind of shoot from the hip on a free week. Pastor Lee's given me permission to preach whatever I want to preach as we've got a free week and a break because we are a series preaching church. Who enjoyed our finance series just a couple of months ago? We've heard testimonies of people's finances and their lives literally being changed as they catch revelation from tipping to tithing and they learn how to steward what God has given them, the resource that God has given them. We've just done a series all about the spirit of adventure, which has called us out of our comfort and into going again as we launch two new Audacious campuses as a church in East Manchester and in South Cheshire coming in September. But today, I want to talk about remembering. How good is it to remember good things? Like, who remembers the Christmas a couple of years ago when we were in the old building across the road and we had over 1,000 people in church? Who remembers that day? I remember it. And I just thank God that we can have that moment. Hey, who remembers the first launch of Chester in the Crown Plaza all those times ago? You guys at the back, you do, lots of people. Who remembers the day that we found out that Pastor Lee stood on the stage and he said, "Church, you know that building across the road? Guess what? We're buying it." Who remembers that day? Who remembers the joy in seeing the faith in our house and our faith in our campus pastors to say, we're not going to stay where we are, but we're going to take ground for the kingdom of God. We're going to enlarge the place of our tent. We're going to stretch our faith and we're going to continue to grow as a church. Who remembers all of the praise parties that we'd have in the old building? He remembers how easy it was and how much space there was at the front for everybody to get out of their seats and jump up and down. And we had the lights, we had the big screens, we would have balls and things flying around the room and confetti cannons. Who remembers all of the good times of where we were? Hey, it feels good to remember good things, doesn't it? When Abby was sharing and she was talking about us being more than conquerors, the room, you were all clapping, you were all shouting as you remembered the goodness of God. See, God is good all the time. And sometimes it's not God that stopped being good, it's us that stopped remembering how good God is. Hey, it is good to remember good things. Who's ever been in Tesco's and bumped into a school friend that you've not seen in a couple of years? And you see them across the aisle and you start to remember, oh my gosh, that awkward moment in year seven. Oh my gosh, that time. Oh my, the party that we went to, the fun that we had, the joy that we'd have together, the football games, the things. And all of the memories just start to flood back. Or maybe your phone rings and it's someone that, a distant cousin or somebody that you've not seen in a couple of years. And all of a sudden these warm feelings, the serotonin's being released in your mind, the dopamine. I'm just grateful that God has designed our brains and our minds that when we remember something, we don't just see a picture, but we also get a feeling that comes with it. You see, God designed you so that when you remember good things, that you would feel good. Hey, it feels good to remember good things. It feels good to remember good food. Hello, somebody. When you walk into Lizzie's house after the after-service parties next week and you smell the good food in Jesus' name, I'm telling you, the year after when you smell of cooking as well, it will remind you of good things. You'll get good feelings. When you walk past a restaurant and you, has anyone been walking through town and you get that smell of the pizza? Rudy's is opening in Chester, by the way, people. Can we just take a moment to praise the Lord? Come on, we're growing, we're expanding, we're taking ground. New restaurants are coming to the city. But when we remember good food, it feels good. Or when we remember good moments, it feels good. When we remember good friends, it feels good. But the tension point of the message that I want to speak on today is that it's very easy to not remember good things. And it's very easy to only remember the negative things or the bad things, or the way that when you invited somebody to join your small group, they said no. Or that time that you went to walk up to someone in the minute to mingle and they turned around to say hello to somebody else. Hey, we've all been there. We've all been there. What I want to speak about is today is that if you choose to ruminate and focus and only remember the negative experiences in your lives, then we'll inevitably live with things like fear. We'll inevitably worry about what's coming next, or the food that's going to be on the table tomorrow, or what is the next job. We will live with a level of anxiety, uncertainty, because our instincts are heightened and focused on the negative that could come rather than the good. But if you choose to remember not only the good, but the God in your life, then your perspective will begin to change. And no longer will you see a group of people huddled and think of the bad experience. You'll begin to see the potential in that group of friends. You'll begin to see the potential in the opportunity that God is placing you around. You'll begin to live with things like faith, with a spirit of generosity. You'll begin to see things through a lens of what's next and of optimism. You'll begin to carry a spirit of joy as God begins to show you the good in the opportunity rather than remembering the bad. Church, I want you to know that there is life in what you choose to focus on. There is life in what you allow to ruminate in your mind. There is life in what you allow to occupy your thoughts. There is life in what you choose to remember. The title of this message is Remember This. And I just want to speak three things that I think as Christians, but also as a church, as a campus, is we have these 3 weeks just to be able to speak spiritually into the life of our church. I have these three things that God's put in my heart for us to remember. Jesus, when he's in John 8, this is what the whole thing's pinned around, is he's speaking to the Jewish believers that started to believe in him. And he says to them, if you hold on, to hold on to something, you need to remember it. Jonathan can't hold his car keys if he's forgotten his car keys. You can't hold on to a good memory if you don't choose to take hold of it. He says, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciple. And he says, after remembering, after holding on, then you will know the truth. And then the truth will set you free. Is there anybody that wants to live a life of freedom? Is there anybody that wants to walk in the freedom that God has put before them? Does anybody want to live in the power, the same power that rose Christ from the dead today? Does anybody want to live with the Holy Spirit alive in them? Does anybody want to live the life that God is calling them to, not the life that you could fall into? You see, what Jesus is saying to these believers at the time is he's saying that there is an emphasis on your personal relationship to me. So Jesus is saying, if you remember me, if you remember these things that I have taught you, is anyone grateful for the Bible? That we also get these teachings, that whenever we forget the goodness of God, guess what? Turn the page and read of the goodness of God yourself. That Jesus is saying, when you choose to remember my truth, you are my disciple. A disciple can then be grown. A disciple has relationship. A disciple has proximity. I just want to speak to you as an individual. You should be reading your Bible in the week. You should be growing in your relationship with God more than how you grow from a platform on a Sunday. Hey, it is important that you catch revelation from Jesus yourself rather than a secondhand revelation from myself, Pastor Lee, Pastor Glenn, whoever it is that's speaking. Hey, I don't want to live in the shallow depths of as good as Pastor Sarah's revelation is. I don't want to live in the shallow depths of her revelation. I want God to lead me into the depths of revelation that he has for myself. I just want to emphasize the importance of your personal discipleship to Jesus for yourself. Hey, there is life in what you choose to remember. And when you choose to remember Jesus, when you choose to remember his teachings, when you choose to remember that your discipleship to him is important, then you will find freedom. You will find life and life to the full. So how do we remember? We've all got so much going on in our lives, haven't we? We've all got the next thing. We've all got the thing that we've just been from. We've just recently been to Tenerife and all day people are saying, oh, do you feel refreshed? And I'm like, holidays are weird, aren't they? Because you're tired before you go on holiday. Then you get on holiday and you feel tired. And then you come back from holiday and guess what? You still feel tired. And it's like, some part of me is refreshed, but I just feel tired. And if we were just to focus on the feeling of being tired and the emotion and the busyness in our minds, we wouldn't create space to be refreshed. But Jesus is giving us the perfect practice, all of us, to remember him. This is something that we do once a month as a church. And I just want to emphasize that we shouldn't just wait till we do it as a church, as a collective. And Jesus, at the Last Supper, he sat with his disciples. And he, you know, he's telling them that he's about to go on. And what does he do? He takes the bread. He breaks the bread. And what does he say? Do this in of me. So he's already given us the roadmap to remembrance. And I just want to encourage you that you can take communion. If you're in a season of your life where you can't see the goodness of God, start your day with communion. If you're in a marriage where you're struggling to see the goodness of God, or you're struggling to remember the good things of how God got you here, or you have a teenager that's being a teenager, and you're struggling to see the goodness in what they're doing and in the phone calls from schools and the reports and all of the things, hey, why not take a moment as a family to sit there, break bread, and do what Jesus has instructed us to do and remember him? We had a moment on holiday, fifth year anniversary, just gone around the corner. And we started our anniversary by taking communion with each other because we wanted to take stock and remember the goodness of God. We wanted to remember the provision that got us the house, but also the provision that leads our lives. We want to take stock and remember the miracles of when you see the bill for the wedding 5 years ago. Soon forget about it as soon as you're on the other side, right? But we need to take a moment to remember the good things that God has put in our lives. Hey, church, it's good to remember. So, three things coming at you real quick that I think that God wants you to choose to remember is, the first one is, remember this. You are loved beyond measure. You are loved beyond measure. There is nothing, no thing, no sin in your life, no place that you could go, no shame that you carry that could separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus died so that you can live in relationship with the Father. There is nothing, there is no greater love. Every year, Remembrance Sunday, we take a moment to remember those who laid down their lives for us. Why? Because there is no greater sacrifice than to lay your life down for the freedom of somebody else. Who's grateful for their Savior, Jesus? Who's grateful that Jesus died on the cross so that they could see love in action and that they could live in freedom? Hey, let's choose to remember that you are loved beyond measure. Life will try and distract you from the love of Jesus. But Paul writes in Ephesus, in Ephesians 2, Ephesus, and he's praying for them, and he's praying, he says this, and I pray, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the holy people. Now get this, to grasp how high, to grasp how wide, to grasp how long, to grasp how deep is the love of Christ, and that so that the knowledge of this love can surpass all of your knowledge. Hey, that's good news for somebody. If you've had a great father in your life, then guess what? The love of Jesus will still surpass that father. And hey, if you've not had a good father, or you've not had good relationships in your life, then guess what? God surpasses your understanding of love. So there is a new love for you today. There is a revelation of love. I want you to remember that you are loved beyond measure. Jeremiah 31 puts it like this, God speaking, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Who is grateful for an everlasting love? Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you, it says. Psalm 103 says, for as high as the heavens are from the earth, so great is the steadfast love. The love of the The Lord your God is with you. Come on. The Lord your God is with you. This is a verse for somebody today. He is with you. He takes great delight in you. He rejoices over you with singing. Hey, you're loved beyond measure. There is no way that you could ever comprehend or understand how wide, how deep, how long the Father's love is for you. If you're have feelings of loneliness, I want you to remember that the Spirit of God covers you. Psalm 91, I love this verse. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. Just this image of you in your loneliest moment, just the feathers and the wings of God just surrounding you and covering you. If you've had feelings of abandonment, I want you to remember that for God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that he would die and so you could have life and life to the full. There's no greater act of love that God could have done. There's nothing that can disqualify you from the love of God. And what's great about the love of God is that it's everlasting. It's always growing. You could be a Christian for another 100 years and there would still be a new depth of his love for you to discover. You could be the most intelligent person in understanding the depths of God's love, and guess what? There's still more for you to discover. Hey, there is a love for you to discover. There is a Father's love for you to discover. There is an ever-increasing love for you to discover. There are always new depths for you to discover. Audacious Church, remember this. You are loved beyond measure. When the world tries to make you feel small and that you aren't remembered and that you aren't anybody, remember this. You are loved beyond measure. If you're grateful for the love of Jesus, then why don't you just begin to give him a praise? Why don't you just begin to thank him for the love that you've seen in your life? You see, Jesus calls us the light of the world. And when we spend time to sit and remember his love, then guess what? He gets to shine through you. We, the local church, we are the hope of the world. There's a common saying that hurt people hurt people. What about if we change that narrative in our city? What about if we change that narrative in our region? What about if you change that narrative in your workplace and people started to say that loved people love people and that people see the love of Christ in you and that your measure of love that you pour out on the people around you isn't dependent on the measure of love that they give you, but it's based on the measure of love that God gives you, the measure of love that you can never understand, the measure of love that is always increasing, the measure of love that is too deep that you can never swim to its full depths, the measure of love that is so high you could never reach the top. Come on, somebody who's grateful for the love of Jesus and that we can be the light in the life of the city, not because of the love that humans have shown us, but because of the love that Jesus has for us. Somebody needs to hear that you can live in the fullness of God's love. Audacious Church, I want you to remember this. You are fighting from victory and not for victory. Oh, come on, somebody. You're fighting from victory and not for victory. You aren't a victim, you're a victor. God has already done it. Jesus has already paid the cost. You are free. There is no sin that can hold you down. There is no mountain too big that he cannot move. There is no provision that he cannot get to. There is no lack of purpose in your life because in him you already have all things. You are called, you are appointed. There is a purpose for your life. Come on, somebody who's glad that they're fighting from victory, not for victory. Who knows that the fight isn't their own, but the victory is already won in Christ Jesus. Hebrews 2 puts it like this. Through his death, Jesus destroyed him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. I want you to know, those of you that feel in a cyclical cycle in your life of sin, or if the enemy's pulling you down, that cannot continue. That there is a moment today, and I want you to know that when you choose to remember the goodness and the fullness of God, then you cannot be held back because you're fighting from victory, not for victory. When you remember the truth of God, then you are free. Who the sun sets free? Oh, come on, who the sun sets free? See, fighting from victory isn't the absence of pain. It doesn't mean the absence of trouble. It doesn't mean the absence of lack in your life. But what it does mean is that you choose to live out of a revelation of the power of Jesus and not the power of how you can solve a problem. Most encouraging verse for you today, John 16, in this world, you will have trouble. Thank you, Jesus. But take heart, for I have overcome the world. Abs has already taught on it excellently. But Romans 8, in all things, in the face of trouble, in the face of hardship, in the face of persecution, in the face of famine, in the face of danger, in the face of risking your own life, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We can fight from victory because we share in his victory. 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 2, 14, but thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphant procession. Who's glad to be a part of the army that's on the winning side? Who's glad to be led day in, day out, moment in, moment out, whether you feel encouraged or discouraged, whether you see the goodness of God or you're fighting to see the goodness of God? You are walking in the procession of Christ's victory. You are a victor and not a victim. There is no thing that can hold you down. You are the head and not the tail. God has gone before you, he's beside you, and he's with you. You are fighting from victory and not for victory. Remember this. I'm going to acknowledge that some mountains in your life are there for you to climb. Some of them you have to climb because without them you wouldn't grow. Without them, if God showed up and answered the thing that you're praying for, you'd be tempted to take the glory for yourself and not on him. You see, without some mountains in your life, God can't grow the character. He can't show you his love. He can't show you his hand of provision because you'll be too focused on yourself rather than on him. Some mountains, we have to learn to praise and worship whilst we're walking it. There are some valleys, no matter how deep they are, we need to remember that the Lord is with us, even though it's hard. There are some heights that need to be scaled that even though you look down and you flipping heck, how the heck am I gonna... I can't go down. Oh, I can't go up. You need to remember that the Spirit of God is with you in the moment of fear. He's with you in the moment that you feel weak. He is in with you in every single moment. But there are some mountains that through faith and through revelation that you're a victor and not a victim, that your faith, even if it's the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to and you can declare and you can tell it to move. Who's grateful that sharing in Christ's victory means that we have all authority in heaven and on earth through his name? That we can look at illness and we can say, be gone in the name of Jesus. You can look at a circumstance and you can call in the presence of God into it. That you can be in the face of a trial and you can declare peace. That you can be in the storm and Jesus will join you in it. Sometimes it's not the absence of the trouble or the hardship, it's you remembering him and inviting his presence in. Remember this, Audacious Church, you are a victor and not a victim. God's presence and his peace can be with you in all situations if you choose to invite him in. Remember this, praise is the precursor to our breakthrough. If you've been in our church for more than 5 minutes, you've heard that. Praise is the precursor to our breakthrough. Does everyone remember how good it was to praise in the old building? There was so much space, right? No one was worried about staying in their seat or feeling hemmed in or feeling too tight. It wasn't just five youth at the front praising, it was everybody. Who remembers those Sundays where we'd do conga lines and we'd have like confetti cannons and it would just be awesome. There'd be balloons everywhere. Who remembers Pastor Lee stage diving more than once? I think he found his calling in life the first time he stage dived. He can't wait for the auditorium just so he can jump off something again. Praise is the precursor to your breakthrough. The Bible talks about a garment of praise. One, one garment for every season, not 10 garments for different seasons. Remember this, Audacious Church. Praise is the precursor to your breakthrough. When you come to church and you choose to praise, when you choose to not wait till the slow songs are on, or you choose to be here at the right time, and you choose to declare the goodness of God in the car on the way in, then guess what? There will be breakthrough here. When you choose to wake up Monday morning and you choose to put praise on your lips, then guess what? Breakthrough's coming. When you choose to carry a spirit of praise with you, then there is no other option than to break through, because praise isn't a song. Praise isn't a prayer. Praise is a position and a spirit that you choose to live in. Praise is the precursor to your breakthrough. Psalms talks about God being enthroned on our praises. So if you feel the absence of God, start to praise. If you start to see and forget the lack of, or you see a lack of goodness of God in your life, then guess what? You can praise, because He will be enthroned on your praises. You can choose to praise Him. God enthrones Himself on our praises. So, are you ready? I'm going to give you some scriptures. Quick time, because we're already in minus seconds. I want you, one, to respond to this. You know we love an active listener here in Audacious Church. But I also want you to take a thought with this. And I want you to, when you're feeling discouraged, I want you to go away. And we've not put the verses on it on purpose so that you've got to go and read the Bible for yourself. You ready? Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my innermost being, praise His holy name. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I wouldn't want my dog to outpraise Jesus for me in my house. I've got to put praise on my lips. Psalm 95, come, let us sing for the joy of the Lord. Let us shout aloud the rock of our salvation. Psalm 145, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Psalm 100, enter His gates with... and into His courts with the light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? And I'm going to give another set of scriptures to somebody that I want you to take. And this is if you can't see the greatness of God in your life. Isaiah 12, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. 1 Chronicles 16, 34, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Nehemiah 8, 10, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Exodus 15, 2, The Lord is my strength and strong, and He will become my salvation. Jeremiah 32, 17, nothing is too hard for you. Is there anybody in the room that is glad that praise is the precursor to our breakthrough? Is there anybody that when you're next facing a giant, you're not gonna just bow to the giant, you're gonna stand up and you're gonna say, my God is more than able. Praise is the precursor to your breakthrough. Our level of praise is determined by the decision that we make to have a level of praise. I can't praise for you. Our band are phenomenal and they set a good bar of praise, but they shouldn't be the top line of our praise. On a Sunday morning, we shouldn't just be okay with staying where Pastor Sarah leads us in praise. We should come hungry to push the boundaries of praise. Hey, if we don't allow ourselves to live in the garment of praise in this room, we're gonna find it very hard when we get to the next one. If you're not willing to push past somebody in a tight seat like this, you're not gonna walk the meters from seat 602 at the back of the room. We're all at the front, basically. This isn't even going to be one section of the new room. Hey, let's not have a gap in our praise, church. Praise is the precursor to your breakthrough. Your personal praise matters, because your personal praise, yes, leads yourself, but it also creates an atmosphere for the breakthrough of somebody else. If this is you, then I praise God for what He's done in your life. But if you come to church and you don't need a miracle, and you don't have something you're petitioning God for, or you don't have a family member that needs to know Jesus, so you think that you don't need to come and bring an atmosphere of praise and of breakthrough with you, then I want to challenge you, and I want to say the person to your left, they need you. They need you to bring an atmosphere of praise for their breakthrough, for the breakthrough of their son that they're believing for the breakthrough for their mother that's in hospital, for the breakthrough of their dad that they don't have a relationship with. Come on, this is for everybody, whether we know God or not. Remember this, you are loved beyond measure. You are fighting from victory, not for victory. And remember this, praise is a precursor to your breakthrough.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.